Good morning. My name's Mike, if you don't know me, and welcome to Greater Alton Church on this fine Memorial Day weekend. I think it's really appropriate that as a country, when we begin the season where I think we celebrate our most freedom, we spend the weekend, the unofficial start of summer, with remembering those who have fallen to provide us with this freedom, and I think that's really appropriate, and I'm really glad that our country does that. So this weekend, as you're out grilling and spending time with family, maybe going to some graduation parties, keep that in the back of your mind, that we have this country. It was bought with the blood of patriots. So I'm very grateful for everybody who's come before us. There's a few things I want to bring up before we jump into this morning's sermon, some announcements. Next week is a summer kickoff celebration where we're going to honor our graduates and the students who are moving on. That's going to be in the evening next week. Also, in 2 weeks, we are only 2 weeks away from primary week at summer camp. Yay, those of us who are all excited. I'm excited because last year I didn't get to go to primary week because I had to go to Europe with my wife. Darn, I sacrificed for that. I just want to let you all know. But I get to go to primary week again this year. I look forward to it every year. It's so much fun getting to speak the word of God into these little itty bitties for a week and then come home and sleep for 24 hours. This year, our 25th class reunion is the day after primary week. So I'm like, we're going to sleep all day and get up with just enough time to get ready for that. Also coming up in July is VBS. In the end of June is junior high week. In July is senior week. There's a bunch of stuff coming up that if you have some students that you need to get them connected, that's a great place to do it. All right, let's jump into this sermon. We've been in a sermon series called The Pursuit of Happiness. We're living the kind of life that God blesses. We're talking about how to be happy, how to have joy in our lives. How many of you think the world needs a little bit more happiness? Yeah. We were watching the news last night, and it was the world news, to be fair, but I at first didn't understand why they're just showing all the problems in the world. Can we just have some good news, right? I remember during COVID, I really liked John Krasinski's good news. Like every week, he had a new episode of good things happening in the world because there was so much crap happening in the world. We needed some good news. The world is going to tell us a few things about happiness, and I have some quotes in your notes and on the screen. But if you got a bulletin, there's some notes inside of there to follow along with. The first quote's from Thomas Gray in 1742, and I think our culture still has this in our minds. Ignorance is bliss, right? Happiness is ignorance, right? If you don't know, you don't care, you're gonna be happy. Even further back in Rome, Publius Syrus, that's how you say it, that's how I'm saying it, Publius Syrus said, in knowing nothing, life is most delightful. In knowing nothing, life is most delightful. I gotta let you know, I don't agree with these. I don't agree with these quotes. I think of, in more modern pop culture, dancing through life in the movie Wicked. Fiero is dancing and singing, and he's talking about how it's so happy, knowing nothing, and all this. But you see in the background, he's miserable. And I think the people who wrote Wicked did a really good job of showing that somebody who's just dancing through life, who doesn't care about anything, they're actually pretty miserable. I think of popular people. I think of famous people. All these stars that our culture lifts up. And on the outside, they seem happy. But then you start hearing these stories about how miserable they are and how much suicide happens with all of these people. Why would that person kill themselves? They had everything they ever needed, everything they ever desired. Just having stuff or not knowing anything won't bring happiness. And we've been talking a lot in this sermon series about what does bring happiness. And this morning, if you look at the title of this sermon is Happiness is a Clear Conscience. I have seen people like Fiero dancing through life who are aimless and directionless. And I'm sure you have too. And those people do not strike me as the most happy, joyful people. Most of the time, it's just a facade. And I think about if I jumped in a car, or I was put in a car, like, hey, you want some candy? Jump in this panel van. And I have no control over who's driving and where I'm going. I don't even know. Am I going to be happy, relaxed, comfortable? No. I don't know who's driving. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how I'm getting there. I'm going to be really uncomfortable. Ignorance is not bliss in that situation. To have a clear conscience means I'm not going to be stressed about what I've done wrong either. So I'm not just directionless, but I'm also not stressed about what I've done wrong because I have a clear conscience. My peace isn't stolen by what I've done wrong. This morning, Alan was talking to us this morning about what he was studying, and it was really awesome to hear. I got to read Zephaniah chapter 3 this morning, and for those of you who don't know what Zephaniah chapter 3 is, it's God saying, if you don't obey me, all of this is going to happen. And oh, it's really uplifting. It's really cheerful. It's like, oh, you're going to die. Everything's going to be taken from you. Your walls are going to be broken down. Your children are going to be killed. It's like, woo, this is what I want to read on a Sunday morning. Yay. But you get to the end of chapter 3 and he switches tones and he starts talking about how joyful are those who obey the Lord. If you do what God wants you to do, all these great things are going to happen. And I was like, okay, that's a little better. That's a nice way to end chapter 3 of Zephaniah. Let's look at what Matthew chapter 5 tells us. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 in the easy version says, happy are the people who want to obey God as much as they need to eat food. God will give them everything they need. Happy are the people who want to obey God as much as they need to eat food. That's not saying happy are the people who always and completely obey God. Everybody else is not happy. Do you see that? There's a direction, there's an emphasis, there's a desire that they want to obey God. So happy are the people who choose to obey God, who want to live that life as much as they need to eat food. And I don't know about you guys, I like food. I like food. And I want to obey God as much as I like food. And that's a lot. I have planned my weekend by what I'm cooking. Like, we made smash burgers yesterday with the onions and the mustard, and it was delicious. Today, I'm going to thaw some pork steaks for tomorrow. I'm going to grill them today and then wrap them, put them in the fridge, and then I'm going to put it in the roaster early in the morning so they fall apart so I can make pork steak sandwiches. I'm making you all hungry. I think about food. I'm a fat kid. That's what I call myself. I think about food. You know, I also think about obeying God. I haven't always been perfect, but happy are the people who want to obey God. People who obey God have a happiness that is hard to describe to the world. Would you agree with that? People who obey God, who want to obey God, have a happiness that is hard to describe to the world. We talk about things like being slaves to Christ and being servants, and everybody's like, that doesn't sound fun. And we're sitting here like, this is awesome. I love this life. I'm a slave to Jesus. And we're like, people look at me like I'm nuts. Other reasons too. I'm also the guy who dresses up like a Mandalorian at Battlehawks games. But that's neither here nor there. I love obeying God because living life in obedience to Jesus has been far better and far more blessed than life not obeying Jesus. Obedience brings direction, purpose, and fulfillment. It is often hard to find all three of those in one place consistently in this world. So this morning, as we're talking about how happiness is a clear conscience, we're going to talk about why does obedience to God bring happiness? So why am I saying that obedience to God is going to bring you happiness? Well, first, happiness is spiritual and not emotional. Happiness is spiritual and not emotional. There's a few passages on your notes. First one's in Psalms chapter 37 verse 4. It says, do what the Lord wants and he will give you your heart's desire. Do what the Lord wants and he will give you your heart's desire. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. If happiness is spiritual and not emotional, that means I'm going to have some control, right? If I don't have any control over my emotions, is that going to go well for me? No, I need to be able to control my emotions. And sometimes my emotions want things that aren't in obedience to Jesus. And so if I just rely on my emotions only, I'm not going to be obedient to God. Maybe I'm just talking about myself here this morning. Maybe my emotions want me to disobey Jesus sometimes. But I think it's kind of a humanity thing. I don't think it's just me. Let's look at the story about the prophet Elijah. Little background before we jump into it. Elijah has just literally had a mountaintop experience. He took on the prophets of Baal through God's power. The prophets of Baal said, we're going to prove that our God is real. And he said, I'm going to prove that Jehovah is real. And they set up this test of their gods. And the prophets of Baal built this altar and they were worshiping Baal. And they're like, come down and burn up this offering and it's going to be great. And you're going to prove that you're God. And nothing happened. And so they're like, oh, we need to worship more. And they start like cutting themselves and dancing and singing. And I love this story because Elisha goes, maybe your God's on the toilet. And he's busy and he can't hear you because he's doing some business and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And then Elijah goes, all right, builds his altar, puts the offering on it and says, pour water on it. He dug a trough around it. He said, pour water on it, fill the trough. They poured so much water on it, filled the trough and Elijah goes, God, I know you're God. You're Jehovah. You have all power. Accept this offering and show these people that you are God. And fire comes down from heaven, burns up the offering, burns up the altar, licks all the water out of the trough, proves that God is God. The people are like, Jehovah is God. And he's like, all right, take out the prophets of Baal. And they have this great victory over the prophets of Baal. They conquer it. Elijah proves God is God, and it's this awesome experience. If that was me, I'd be like, yeah, this is awesome. And then word gets back to Jezebel, and she says, he's going to die. Now, I would love to tell you that in that situation, I'd be like, you're going to kill me? My God just did all this. Bring it. I would love to tell you that's what I would do. But you know, Elijah's probably more of a man than I am, and this guy gets scared. He gets terrified because Jezebel is going to have him killed. And let's pick that up in verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And it says this, then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And if you keep reading, God tells him, you're not alone. He shows himself to him. He's like, there are people I've kept. They are on your side. You are not alone. Notice he says you're not alone a lot. And Elijah is strengthened. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap and eat a snack. The most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap and eat a snack. I get hangry. I get grumpy. If I'm tired, I'm grumpy. If I'm hungry, I'm grumpy. If I'm both, just this weekend, my wife and I had to have a discussion about how I was tired and grumpy and hungry, and that was bad. Just this weekend. It's sometimes the most spiritual thing I can do is take a nap and eat a snack. Because my emotions, I don't have control over my emotions. I don't have control over my face. My face has resting angry face. Relying solely on my emotions has never worked out for me. We see that if we do have self-control, and I'm specifically talking about our emotions, if we do not have self-control from our emotions, we have no protection from ruin. That's what that Proverbs passage said. The only thing I believe that a follower of Christ needs to be concerned about is if they are obeying God. That's my number one. Am I obeying God? Ignorance of all other worries maybe does bring happiness. So maybe ignorance is bliss is right in context of if you are obeying God, ignorance of everything else will bring happiness. Maybe we can apply it that way. But as a Christian man, my number one goal is not the happiness of my wife, is not the happiness of my children, it's the happiness of God. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Spiritual happiness is based on what God has, not what I have. Happiness is spiritual, and it's based on what God has and not what I have. Think about that for a minute. Where do you base your happiness? Are you happy when you get the new toy? Are you happy when you have the good meal? Or are you happy because you're obeying God? Because you have a clear conscience, because you're obeying what the word of the law, word of God says. You're doing what God made you to do. And did you catch that in Psalms, in that passage in Psalm 37? It said, do what the Lord wants and he will give you your heart's desire. Can I tell you, I have missed this passage. I've always said, do what the Lord wants and he will give you what you need. And then sometimes he blesses you with more. That's not what that passage says. It says, do what the Lord wants and he will give you your heart's desire. Not just what I need, but what I want too. Now, I do have a little asterisk there, a little caveat. The more you walk with God, the more what he wants is what you want. The more you walk with God, the more what he wants is what you want. Sometimes I'm going to need to go against what my emotions want, because spiritual happiness is obedience to God. Happiness is spiritual, not emotional. What else can I learn from this idea of happiness as a clear conscience? Well, the second thing I can find is happiness is found in peace. Happiness is found in peace. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16 tells us this. Keep your conscience clear. Then those who treat the good Christian life you live with contempt will feel ashamed that they have ridiculed you. Acts chapter 24 verse 16 says, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. And then we see in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Can I tell you, conflict does not allow peace. And without peace, I'm not going to find happiness. So therefore, if I'm living in conflict, am I truly going to be happy? Think about that. Think about when times you've been in conflict, maybe with your spouse or a sibling or a parent or a friend or the law. I mean, it's out there. I've never personally been worried about being in trouble with the law, but just the thought of it kind of takes my peace away. If I'm living in conflict, am I truly going to find happiness? Conflict does not allow peace. And if I'm in conflict with God and what his word tells me, I will definitely not have peace in my life. Without peace, I fear it's impossible to have this happiness we've been talking about. Not happiness as the world thinks. Happiness as God wants you to have it. That joy, that peace. The world will tell you that you can live how you want and still be happy. And if that's true, why is depression so rampant in the lifestyles that live contrary to what God's word tells us? I haven't been a youth minister in a few years, but just working with the youth ministry all those years, the kids that come from lifestyles opposite and against what God's word says struggle so much with depression. They're trying to find value in themselves in something that has no value. They're trying to find purpose in themselves in something that has no purpose. And it's the same for adults. I just have more experience with kids. It's the same for adults. The algorithms are weird on Facebook and YouTube, right? You watch one video and suddenly, boom, you're looking at Pokemon cards for the rest of your life. But every once in a while, because I click on middle to right leaning political things, they'll throw some stuff up there that make fun of people that are on the left. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like the way some of these videos mock these lifestyle choices. I'm not okay with that. But some of these videos are heartbreaking because you see people who were created one way, who are trying to live a different way than they were created. And there's a conflict inside of them. And it's no wonder there is so much depression in these lifestyles. I'm not saying there's not depression in the Christian lifestyle, because there is. We know that. And where does that come from? That probably comes from our desire to live contrary to God's word. Honestly, that's probably where it comes from. And I'm not perfect. I have desires that are contrary to God's word, and I have to crucify those desires daily. But I can tell you from living in the world and living in the kingdom, this is the better choice. The happiness I have now in God is so much better than what I thought was happy before. There's a peace inside of me. I'm not at conflict with myself. I'm not at conflict with God. I'm not in conflict with my wife most of the time. And when I am, it's probably my fault. I'm just being real. I think about people who should be happy. I talked about this a minute ago. Hollywood stars, millionaires, and we see this person committed suicide this week. It breaks my heart. Because these are people who have yet to meet Christ or have walked away from Christ. And they've chosen a path that doesn't bring them closer to Christ. And no wonder, if I'm living against what God is telling me to do, I'm going to be living in conflict 24/7. Because God's word, I believe God's word is the truth. And I hope you do too. And if I stand on that truth, I'm not going to be living in conflict with God. Again, asterisk, little caveat here. It is going to put me in conflict with the world. But I have a peace knowing that I am serving the Creator and my Lord. And that conflict that I have with the world doesn't break that peace. Because my peace comes from the Father. So I will find my happiness if I obey what God tells me, if I try to live not in conflict with the Father. Obedience is the opposite of conflict with the Father. And obedience will bring me peace. And last thing this morning that I want to talk about, that this obedience brings happiness. Well, happiness is pursuing God. Happiness is pursuing God. Hebrews 13, verse 18 says this, "Pray for us. Our consciences are clear, and we always try to live right." That sounds like I'm not living in conflict with God, right? So I have peace. Peace kind of ushers in happiness. Obedience ushers in happiness. Happiness comes from pursuing God. I'm always going to try to live the right way. I'm always going to pursue God. And it's going to keep my conscience clear. In Jeremiah verse 17, in verses 7 and 8, it says this, "Happy are those who trust in the Lord, who rely on the Lord. They will be like trees planted by the streams, whose roots reach down to the water. They won't fear drought when it comes. Their leaves will remain green. They won't be stressed in time of drought or fail to bear fruit." Happy are those who trust the Lord. I would take it a step further. They rely on God. Happy are those who are pursuing God. These trees that... How many of you have ever had tree roots in your sewer drains? I never thought about that moving into the house that we live in now. We live in a neighborhood called Whispering Oaks. I never thought, oh, there's going to be a lot of trees. That might be a problem with my sewer, right? That sewer has cost me so much money. We've had plumbers out all the time. We even had to jackhammer our garage floor up to replace sewer lines because tree roots. Tree roots search for sources of life. Happy are those who are like trees planted by streams who reach down to the water. God is the living water. Jesus is the living water. He told the Samaritan woman, if you drink of the living water, you'll never thirst again. Are you being planted in a place where you can sink down your roots and find life? These trees in my neighborhood have found those sewer lines yearly, and I've learned I got to treat the sewer line twice a year, so don't worry, I got it all figured out. But spiritually, am I sinking my roots down and pursuing God? Am I looking for the words of life? Am I looking for the author of life? Am I pursuing God? Because that's going to bring me happiness. I would love to tell you that every morning I wake up and I'm so joyful to read my Bible. I would love to tell you that. I don't like waking up in the morning, so I'm not going to be joyful to do anything. If you see me driving in the morning, if you are up before the sun like I am, don't be in front of me. I'm not awake yet. Just putting that out there. I don't wake up till I have my coffee, and I have my coffee at work, so I'm on autopilot. But every day, I have time with God in the morning. I told you this morning, I was reading Zephaniah chapter 3. Because that's what my Bible plan wanted me to read today. And there was a psalm too. Every morning I listen to the words of God. That's a great way to start your day. To hear the words of God. Every morning, that's what I have playing on my radio, is the words of God. And if it's a short morning, I throw on some worship music. I'm pursuing God. The more I pursue God, the happier my life is. That's just the way it's working in my life. And I hope that's the way it's working in your life. Matthew 6:33 plainly tells us to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness before all else. And if we do, the things we need will be given to us. Righteousness is God's right and wise way of living. If I'm going to live a righteous life, that means I have to pursue him so I know his right and wise way of living. Look back at the beginning of the notes. Ignorance is bliss. And I'd already told you, I don't agree with that. Ignorance is not bliss. Obedience is bliss. Obedience is bliss. The only concern I have in life is that I am obeying my Lord. Everything else in my life falls under that category. Am I a good husband? Well, if I'm obeying God, I'm going to be a good husband. Am I a good dad? If I'm obeying God, I'm going to be a good dad. Am I a good worker? If I am obeying God, I'm going to be a good worker. Do you see how all this falls in place? And if I'm obeying God, I'm not going to live in conflict. I'm going to have happiness and peace in my life. I have said in every point this morning that obedience will bring happiness. And that's so, I don't know about you, but that's so counterproductive to me. Like, where's the freedom in that? We live in this country, America, freedom, yes, let's... We have this American mindset where obedience doesn't seem like freedom. It doesn't seem like happiness. It sounds a little bit more like slavery. But that's what's so countercultural to the Christian life, the true Christian life, is that my happiness comes from obeying my Lord and making my Lord happy. Doing the things that bring joy to God will also bring joy to me, will also bring happiness to me. Parents, when is there the most happiness in your home? Is it when your kids are getting along and obeying and being happy? Kids, for those of you teenagers that are in here, when is it the most happy in your home? Is it when you do all the things you're supposed to do and listen to your parents and get along with your siblings? It probably is. And it's the same way in God's kingdom. We have a Heavenly Father. And if I am doing the things I'm supposed to do that my Heavenly Father tells me to do, like the dishes, I'm going to find happiness because he's happy and there's going to be peace in my home. There's not going to be conflict. But when I don't do the dishes, and I don't know what the dishes are in this metaphor, but when I don't do the dishes, there's going to be conflict between me and my Heavenly Father, just like there is between me and my daughters in our home when they don't do the dishes, when they don't clean their room, when they don't put a bag back after they took out the trash. At least they took out the trash. But we are all like children in this kingdom. And our Father in heaven knows what's best for us, and He knows the absolute best way for us to live. If I live the way God wants me to live, I'm going to find happiness. I would call that the path of least resistance. Electricity likes to find the path of least resistance, right? Happiness is the same way. If I live in conflict and disobedience, those are resistance. Happiness is not going to flow very well. But if I'm living in obedience with God, I will find happiness. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about, that's okay. Because there's somebody next to you who does. And if you have questions about what I've been talking about, like how can he have happiness in obedience? Well, it's because I've surrendered my life to Christ. And I've been washed in the waters of baptism. And I've put on Jesus. When God looks at me, he sees his Son. And I try. I want to obey God as much as I need food. I want to. I'm not perfect, but I want to. And if you don't have that in your life, there is somebody sitting next to you. You'd be like, what was Mike talking about? I don't understand. I don't understand how obedience brings happiness. They would love to open up the Bible with you and share with you what they know through Scripture about how you can have this life that I've been talking about, how you can have God's happiness. And you too can surrender your life to Christ in the waters of baptism. You can have the happiness that comes with a clear conscience this morning. See, I'm not worried about my sin. I'm not worried about what I've done wrong because Christ has removed that sin from me. He has taken it on the cross and he has buried it. And God no longer sees sinful Mike. He sees perfect Jesus. And you can have that this morning. As we close, the last passage on your notes is a psalm. It's a few verses from Psalms. And I want to read this as a prayer this morning. I don't want to just stand up here and thank God for everything he's done for us and all the great things. I am grateful for that. I am so grateful for everything God has done. And I do thank him for that. I pray for the people who need healing, the people who are stressed about maybe a upcoming doctor's appointment. I'm lifting all that up. But this morning I want to close with this psalm. So will you bow your heads and pray with me? When our sons are young, may they grow quickly, like strong plants. May our daughters become tall and beautiful, like the beautiful pillars in a king's house. May our homes have plenty of different kinds of food. May our sheep have thousands of lambs, so that there is no space in our fields. May our cows give birth to many babies. May our enemies never knock down our city walls. May none of us become their prisoners. May nobody cry in our city streets because they are afraid. When God does that for a nation, the people are truly happy. If the people know that the Lord is their God, they are truly happy. And this morning, I pray that you know your God and you are truly happy.
I'm so secure. You're here with me. You stay the same. Your love. You'll never let me You'll never let me go.